You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Paul Charchian, he's our guy, and he's going to be my, not roommate, but he's going to be my tour guide this weekend.
Well, if I play my cards right.
Take you out, get you liquored up at Manny's.
You're a good-looking man. Real soft, delicate features. They're real feminine. Maybe throw a little rouge on you.
I'll get staked up.
You're on the wagon. I'm not knocking you off the wagon. I can tell you that much.
It's not my fault you're back on the wagon.
It's off the wagon.
Well, in the old days, how do you think they got the alcohol from town to town?
I don't know.
On a wagon.
This can be the best steak dinner you've had in your life.
Looking forward to it.
You want that cooked? Run to a crisp or bloody as hell?
Bloody as hell, and oh yeah, look at this, vanilla coat.
You know when you get a T-bone or a porterhouse, the big side of that steak is basically a strip, and the little side of that is basically like a fillet.
That's what it is.
So now,
so it's a spider more than it is a snake.
They use one bull. They sires every single steak.
Stop
and the bull's
it.
From Chicago.
Chris Dunn? So
BAM! Chris Dunn!
That is the best steak you've had in your life. I'm going to mention three places. Luger, RPM Steak in Chicago, and Joe's Steak and Seafood in Chicago. Those are my top three.
I've only been to Joe's.
Luger's in what, Brooklyn? There's a framed, it's beautifully matted and framed, but it's how to give the Heimlich maneuver. I am not kidding.
When you're having your porterhouse for two, that's going to come in handy.
I'm not kidding.
You pay till I tell you don't have to pay no more. And don't give me that face. You know how many tabs, how many dinners I picked up over the years? Richie Aprile, fat Jerry Anastasia. Those guys killed me at Betting Honest. And forget it, they want a steak. I put a new wing on Peter Luger's. What about a plane?
I hear you, Tone, but that was before inflation.
Whatever.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit. Walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
First pitch, slider away, base knock, Cubs win.
There
That's
it
how
is.
You do it.
That is how you do it. Another gem, timeless, from Ron Coomer. Zach and Coom bringing it last night right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score as we welcome in the president, Theo Epstein, joining us right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Good afternoon, Theo. How you feeling today, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for giving us some time, as always. I commented Monday that it feels like this series is yet another big series, and it's only late May. And, you know, I think we've had a few of them. That Dodgers series earlier in the year when you guys needed it to turn your ship around, and then you sweep the Cardinals to jump into first, 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. The Nationals felt big because of Scherzer. And here comes Jake Arrieta and Bryce Harper to town. These things feel good. Is that how it always feels for you, or is this a little unusual?
You know, I think that's just a function of being in the National League in 2019. You know, if you look at it, there's only a couple teams that are out of it in the NL. We got so many good teams in the National League that it's going to seem like big series week after week after week. And you know, the American League kind of the opposite. You know, there's only a handful of teams really in contention over there, so they probably don't have quite the same feeling on a regular basis like we do. So it's good. It's just a reminder of you know, how important all these games are and how well we're going to have to play and how consistently well we're going to have to play to get where we want to go in 2019.
He had the walk-off hit last night. It's only at bat we've seen the last 2 days from him. How's Javi feeling? How soon is he going to be returning to the lineup regularly?
Yeah, he's feeling good. He dodged a bullet there, or it's just a contusion, nothing structural. So I know he said he was feeling good last night. They're going to check him out once he gets to the ballpark today and hope that he can be in the lineup. I know Joe's got two lineups, one with him in there and one with him out of there. So we got our fingers crossed.
Theo Javi seems to have set a tone on this club, and not this year, but going back a year or two in terms of aggressive base running. And I love an organization that uses the credo, let's put pressure on the defense and force them to make mistakes. But has your ball club almost been a little bit too adventurous on the bases for its own good?
I don't think so. You know, I think there's a cost-benefit analysis with every decision that you make on the bases. And, you know, it's really, really hard to be aggressive and be perfect. You know, it's hard to be aggressive and never make any outs, take the extra base every time and not make any outs on the bases. So I think, you know, we're pushing the envelope a little bit. And the goal is to do that and still play good percentage baseball. But I think, you know, the outstanding base runners on the club are, as you said, setting a good example. That's Javi and Bryant and Hayward are doing a great job setting the tone there. We've got a few runaway trains on the bases from time to time. We're trying to work past that. But on the whole, I think it was the case last year too. I think we led the league in first to thirds last year, and that stuff adds up. Obviously, you never want to make outs on the bases. Your 27 outs are your most valuable asset offensively, and you have to protect them. But I like the good aggressive mindset. We stole two runs on the bases last night, and it shows you how that can lead to an important win.
So much of it at the finish of base running, when you make the slide, is improvisation. Is base running a difficult skill to coach?
Brian Butterfield's one of the best in baseball at coaching base running and aggressive base running. I think it's something that can be learned. You obviously can't teach speed, although, you know, with running mechanics and that type of thing, you can't improve it along the margins. But you can't teach speed, but you can really coach base running and have guys be more aware. Some of it's instinct, some of it is hardwired, but you can make guys more aware and teach proper technique. And I think he's done a really, really good job with that. You mentioned finishing plays. Because of replay, that's a whole new art. It used to be you just kind of get there. If you beat the ball, they call you safe. And these days, you have to really, find a way to evade the tag. You have to find a way to maintain contact with the bag and the zero margin for error. So that's an entirely new discipline.
You mentioned the instinct part there. Seems like a lot recently, maybe it's just, recency bias in your head a little bit of it, but a lot of sliding going on into first base with different members of this team. Is that something that the front office frowns upon or they encourage?
No, I mean, we'd probably prefer guys run through the bag 99.9% of the time. I think, you get there a little quicker that way, safer that way. Every now and then, you'll have a play where you're trying to avoid a tag or you have to contort your body and maybe go in feet first as you avoid a tag. But beyond that, it's safest to go in standing up. But that's just one of those things. Instinct sometimes takes over and guys end up going to feet first.
Cubs boss Theo Epstein with us on your home for Cubs baseball, Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Dan McNeil, Nick Shepkowski, Shepper sitting in for Danny Parkins today. Theo, when we sat with you out at Sloan Park, what seems like 3-4 months ago now, because it has been about 3 months, you were just beaming about the potential for this veteran staff and how much you were looking forward to. Have they even exceeded your expectations?
The rotation,
yes.
It's been really good and really consistent. I'm proud of the guys. I feel like almost to a man, they all challenged themselves in spring training in some form or another, whether it was developing a third pitch like Q did with his changeup, or Kyle Hendricks finding a way to try to get off to a better start and sort of get locked in earlier in the season than he did years prior, and he went out early to spring training to try to make that happen. Every guy has challenged himself in some form or another, and I think made real improvements. And Darvish is taking a little bit longer to come around. Of late, he seems to be turning the corner and pitching with a more aggressive approach, and that's been good to see. But overall, this is a really established veteran starting five that's been setting the right tone for this ball club and living up to our expectations so far. We're happy about the work they put in.
With a brutal spring we've had here, does it make good or bad? Does it make it tougher to evaluate what you've seen this team perform as at home?
I don't know. I mean, it is a factor. It's obviously the same for both teams. Every time you go out there, I will say, because of the weather, Wrigley's been playing like an extreme pitcher's park so far this year. That'll obviously change as the weather warms up, but you know, it's punished our hitters in some way. At home, they've kind of lunched up on the road a little bit, and it's maybe it's given our pitchers a little bit bigger margin for error as they find a rhythm. So I don't think it poses too great an evaluation challenge, but you obviously you have to factor it in when you look at the totality of what the club has done. I think, you know, just from they're all human beings and handling this brutal weather night in, night out, I know it seems like something that should come with the territory because they're professionals, and it does, but I think, you know, there's been no complaining. They're doing an outstanding job of, you know, showing up to play each and every night, despite the conditions, and I think that bodes well. It's certainly more enjoyable to play in the summer months at Wrigley, and that's right around the corner.
Theo, how valuable might it be that you didn't panic and bail on Tyler Chatwood after one bad year?
Well, I don't think, you know, we were going to bail on him. We were just frustrated with last year as he was, and he deserves a lot of credit. You know, he's the one who deserves the credit, not us. So you instead of crawling into a hole and pouting about the way last year went, he went home determined to fix it, did a ton of work on his own, connected early with Tommy Hotovy, and made some pretty fundamental adjustments with elements of his mechanics and approach. And he's been really good from spring training on. You know, he's played a huge part in a couple of those 15-inning wins that we had, and been an important guy for us who is earning more and more trust, and look for him to take an increasingly important role as we go on. So the stuff has been electric, and he's found a way to be more consistently in the strike zone. So we're excited about what that means for his future with us.
Another guy that's pitching seemingly as well as he has since you've traded for him, Jose Quintana, dealing again last night. What do you see? What's different with him this year?
You know, the biggest factor is really the development of his third pitch, the changeup. He became pretty predictable last year with the fastball curve combination, and that came back to bite him third time through the order. So you'd see a pattern of some good first four or five innings out of him, and then as that third time through the order rolled around, guys had seen his full arsenal. He wasn't able to execute the changeup, didn't have confidence, and that got away from it, and the teams did some damage against him the third time through. So we talked to him about that at the end of last year. It's one thing to talk about, it's another to have a plan. He really dedicated the spring training to finding a grip that he was comfortable with and using it. You know, he forced himself to throw three, four, five changeups every inning in spring training. And by the time we got out of Arizona, he had real confidence in it, and he's used it quite a bit. And the thing about his changeup is it makes his other pitches better too. So he's just commanding three quality pitches really well right now. He's establishing in and up and in on righty's hands really well, which opens up both sides of the plate. He's got his curveball for strike just about strikes just about whenever he wants it, and he can finish he can open or finish with the changeup when he needs to, and picking his spots with it. So really good execution, and the third pitch has been a big difference for him.
So what keeps you up at night, Theo, if anything, right now? You got to be feeling like the plane has been steadied, and you've managed to navigate your way as an organization through some tricky public relations issues, and those things seem to be settling in. I don't know if it'll ever be business as usual with Addison Russell, but what keeps you up at night? What's bugging you about your club, if anything?
No, I mean, I think it's our job to stay up at night thinking about all the things that could go wrong, and the quality of our division and the quality of our league itself keeps you up at night, because there's an understanding of how well we're going to have to play all year and how little margin for error there is to win the division and then move through the National League. So you look at all the different areas that could go wrong or that might need improvement. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the rotation performing as well as it is and our position group off largely to good starts, you know, you look at the bullpen and, you know, they've done, considering that we've been without our ninth inning guy and our eighth inning guy, this bullpen has done a really nice job. You know, we're third in the National League in ERA. We've got, you know, C-Sheck, Brock, Kinsler, Ryan, and Chatwood all performing at a high level. But and they deserve a lot of credit for us riding the ship after that first road trip. But I think you're always looking to make the pen better, and this is the year where that's pretty clear that we're going to be looking to do that. And we've done each year, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, we always add from outside at some point in the bullpen. So, you know, we're just looking for ways to, you know, to make a championship caliber bullpen at some point during the year and ride it down the stretch. It's when the games matters most. So that's an obvious area of focus, but I don't want to overlook the job that the guys have done without our ninth inning guy and our eighth inning guy at this point. It's been a heck of a job so far, but it's an area that we want to continue to shore up.
Roughly 2 weeks from the draft coming and going, once that passes, likelihood of adding a free agent, is that something that pops up on the radar?
Well, there's not too many free agents out there, and you know, I think trades are probably more likely than free agents, but you never know. Anyone who's still out there, you're obviously, they can help you, you're engaged with them. It's just trying to find a way to make it work. Obviously, it's been well documented that we weren't that active in free agency this winter, and there are a number of reasons for that, and those reasons still apply, but you know, you don't want to look past any opportunities. It's just a matter of making it work. But you know, that said, typically June and July is a time for where the trade market really comes into focus. But as you do that, you keep in mind there's talent out there that's available without having to give up prospects and free agency. You'd love to find a way to make that work. It's not going to be easy.
Theo, last thing I have for you today. I heard a commentary earlier today from Bryant Gumbel in which he admitted, this is a get-off-my-lawn commentary about where baseball has gone today. And, you know, in the offseason, I don't mind those conversations about pace of play and who's watching baseball, who's not. During the season, man, that for me emotionally is a real disconnect. The season is off to an amazing start, just like it has for many years. Guys do amazing things. If some people don't want to watch, the hell with them. Let's have the conversation in the off season. How do you feel about it? Because you hear it a lot too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with either approach. You know, I see where you're coming from. There's, you know, this is a really entertaining ball club, I believe, that we have, and it's going to be a really engaging season. So that's more than enough baseball to consume, I think, for most people. But at the same time, you know, if people want to talk about why we haven't quite captured the hearts and minds of the younger generation, I think that's something that's important to consider in the bigger picture. You know, we want to, those of us who love baseball, like I know you do, you want to ensure that this is our national pastime and the most prominent sport in our country for decades and decades and decades from now. And, you know, if the reality is that we're not capturing young fans as well as we could, then, you know, I think maybe behind the scenes, looking at some ways to make small adjustments to the game to make it more action-packed and more appealing to young fans makes sense. But I agree, it doesn't have to dominate the conversation. A lot of times the best tweaks to the game are the subtle ones you don't even notice, but make improvements. So it's still the game that we know and love, but it's maybe a little bit even more entertaining, more action-packed, and slowly but surely you capture the younger generation to ensure baseball's place going forward.
Theo, just an opinion thing here. A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball this week declared that Wilson Contreras was in the 1% of athletes in all of baseball and was the best athlete on the Cubs. Do you agree with his his claim?
I think if you look at it as sort of athlete for position, then yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine a more athletic catcher than Wilson Contreras. Some of the things that he can do behind the plate and the way he bounces around back there and jumps on slow rollers, and he's pretty spectacular athletically. The combination of strength and quickness and twitch is pretty amazing back there. You know, as far as a pure athlete, I don't know, maybe we'll have to have a superstars type competition and see you can scale the obstacle course and row the boat quickest, and you can declare your best athlete on the Cubs.
Theo, thanks for the time. Have a great day, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
We'll see you. Bye. Cubs boss Theo Epstein.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.